Psalm 125. A song of ascent. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people, both now and forevermore. The scepter of the wicked will not remain over the land allotted to the righteous, for then the righteous might use their hands to do evil. Lord, do good to those who are good, to those who are upright in heart. But those who turn to crooked ways, the Lord will banish with the evildoers. Peace be on Israel.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's really lovely to see you today. Thanks, Beck, so much for reading. For those of you that don't know me, I'm Ed, and I'm going to be taking us through Psalm 125 today. But before I do that, why don't I pray? Psalm 19 says, The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. Lord God, we want to pray that this morning, that as we spend time in your word, Lord God, would you be refreshing our souls, Lord? Would you be speaking to us through your word? And would you be giving joy to our heart? Thank you, Lord God, that you have given us your word now. Help us to understand it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I wonder if you can think of the most dangerous journey that you've been on. For me, it was during my university years when I, along with 15 other friends, took two yachts and sailed from Hamble, close to Portsmouth. We went across to Cowes and then on to Jersey, Guernsey and Sark. And it was a really good trip, really fun, but it was a 14 days filled of adventure. And thankfully enough, we returned from it, although only just. On the first day of the trip, one of the boats unfortunately got caught on a lobster pot. The lobster pot got pulled round the propeller. And thankfully enough, we managed to get the boat free, which was good. But because the rope had gone round the propeller, we didn't have any power anymore on the boat. And so what we did is we lashed the two boats together and got ourselves back into port. What we did is we managed to try and get ourselves into the berth with both of the boats. But what we didn't realise is that when you put two boats together, you suddenly have a lot more inertia. So as we were coming into the jetty, we tried to slow ourselves down, and unfortunately we weren't able to stop, so both boats very quickly crashed straight into another boat. Insurance details were quickly shared. So far, not so good. Undeterred, we repaired the boat, and we set off across the channel. The romantic notion of crossing the channel quickly gave way as overnight we were navigating through one of the busiest shipping lanes that there is in the world. I found myself on my first yachting experience at the helm for several hours overnight. And generally it kind of seemed to be going okay. You just had to be able to see the lights of the container ships to make the decision as to whether you went behind the container ship, safest way to go, or whether you make sure that you were well in front of the container ship that was coming. But it turns out I just missed one. I missed a container ship. And as we were piling forward, I'd missed that we were straight in its path. And we were very, very close when the container ship gave a very, very loud horn in our ears. We had to quickly tack to get out of there, and thankfully enough, we avoided the container ship. But if we hadn't spotted it, we would have been mincemeat. we would have been in real trouble. I share this story with you because as Christians, we are on a perilous journey. Christians are followers of Jesus, and we are on a dangerous journey home. But here's the good news. If you're trusting in the Lord, you are safe forever. You will be protected on the journey, and you will make it home. So our first point today is simple. God's people are secure. So as we delve into Psalm 125, let's remember that no matter how dangerous the journey may seem, our safety is guaranteed in the Lord. Let's read verses 1 and 2 again. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people, both now and forevermore. This week, I've been trying to think about what is the safest place in the UK right now to be. You might have other ideas, but I think the place where I landed on as the safest place to be was Buckingham Palace, where the King lives. Many of you will have visited and you would have seen the big fence that's outside the palace, the gates that go with it, the soldiers with the guns, and the armed police that you can kind of see in the picture there. And that's along with all of the security cameras and everything else. It's a very secure place. Now, if I said to you, you were like Buckingham Palace, it would sound a little bit strange, wouldn't it? Well, that's what the psalmist does in verse 1. Except he doesn't compare us to Buckingham Palace. He compares us to Mount Zion. But the idea is the same. You are safe, secure, and protected. We said earlier that Christians are on this dangerous journey from this world to the new one that God is making. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion. They can't be shaken. They are secure. And verse 2 builds on that idea. So Mount Zion is a real place. It's Jerusalem. If you went there, you would find the hills surrounded by other hills. This might not seem like a very secure thing to us today, but as an ancient Israelite 3,000 years ago, it was the safest thing that you could have imaginable. Imagine how it would be really difficult for enemy soldiers to attack your walled city when you were on a hill surrounded by other hills. You were very secure. So as we journey through this broken world to the new one that God is making, those that trust in the Lord are safe, protected by God, in the same way that the hills surround Mount Zion. However, it's interesting. The picture of safety and protection isn't quite strong enough, because even Mount Zion, after this psalm was written, wasn't invincible. God's people were invaded and defeated by the Babylonians, showing that the physical Mount Zion was not as secure as the psalmist suggests. But in the Bible, Mount Zion means more than just a hill in Israel. It stands for the place where God will live forever with his people. Just as Buckingham Palace is a very safe and secure place because it's the home of the king, imagine how much safer and secure a place will be where God is. This divine Mount Zion cannot be shaken, cannot be destroyed, cannot be invaded. It will last forever. And that's exactly what verse 1 says. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion. They can't be shaken. It endures forever. For those who know Jesus and who are being saved by him from this broken world to a new one, we are protected now for the journey and safe forever. We are like little mobile cities, little fortified tanks, protected by God. But the psalmist isn't denying the reality. So we saw in Psalm 124, which we looked at last week, that there's still anger, floods, and snares for the Christian. If the wicked rule your country and the nations oppose God, who is in charge of you, then prison and death are still real risks. And we see this in the New Testament too. Maybe think about Peter for a moment. He was one of Jesus' disciples, and he went on to spread Jesus' message and to start the first churches. But he also lived under a death sentence. Jesus, the risen Lord, told him that when he was old, he would be taken to where he didn't want to go, promising that he would be executed. But up until that, Peter would be indestructible until that time. Just as you read the Acts of the Apostles, while the Lord had work for Peter to do, he could defy courts and kings. He could walk out of prisons. He could face anything with confidence because he was under the protection of the sovereign God who is powerful. And we today are still in that era of history where we are under the protection of the sovereign God. We are New Testament Christians who can know God is sovereign and powerful to protect his people today. Perhaps as you look at the summer and beyond, it might feel a little bit like a dangerous journey for a Christian or an uncertain one. You might be about to maybe move school, or your job might be a bit insecure, or you might have health trials or test results coming up. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion. Christian, you are safe, secure, and protected. The enemy will not get you. But of course, this kind of leads us to our second point, which is that God's people are secure, so don't join the enemy. And that's the battle that we have. Take a look at verse 3 with me. The scepter of the wicked will not remain over the land allotted to the righteous, for then the righteous might use their hands to do evil. I don't know if you know, but a scepter is a big metal stick that a king carries to show that he's in charge, to show you that he has power and authority. For example, you can see here King Charles in one of his official portraits with the scepter in hand. And when verse 3 talks about the scepter of the wicked, it means wickedness and evil are in charge. This is the world that we live in. A world ruled by the scepter of wickedness. This doesn't just maybe refer to evil, wicked people in authority, but to the entire creation being ruined, spoiled by wickedness. And it's how the Bible consistently describes our world. And wickedness, it might seem like an old-fashioned word to all, but really it just means the opposite of goodness. When we live under God's good rule for our lives, we live in goodness. Righteousness is another word for it. Things are good. But when we reject God in our lives and choose to live our own way, then wickedness reigns. It's a godless existence where the Creator who knows how we can live best is shut out and we make up the rules. That's the world that we live in today. A world where the people in this world are in charge, and it's a messy and broken place where we can ignore God and hurt others. However, wickedness will not rule forever. The scepter of the wicked will not remain. Instead, the scepter will belong to Jesus, our King, who will rule forever in perfect righteousness. What a brilliant, brilliant world that will be. But as long as we're here, the journey will be dangerous. Look at the end of verse 3 again to understand why it might be dangerous. For then the righteous might use their hands to do evil. So when evil is in charge, those who are being saved by Jesus and heading home are constantly tempted to live like the rest of the world, to do evil as the world does, and to forsake God. So in this case, the danger isn't illness or poverty or hardship or things like that. The danger is in doing evil and becoming like the world and making this world our home along with everybody else and stopping trusting in God. We need to be careful not to join the enemy when you're behind enemy lines. During World War II, Virginia Hall, an American who became a British Special Operations Executive Agent, or a spy, worked behind enemy lines in France. Disguised as a journalist, she gathered critical intelligence on Nazi movements. She sabotaged operations and coordinated with the French resistance. Her work was pretty perilous. On occasion, she narrowly escaped capture by the Gestapo, who'd become aware of her activities, and she was dubbed one of the most dangerous of all the Allied spies. The Gestapo put out wanted posters for her, and despite the risk, she continued on her mission, constantly moving and changing her appearance. She refused to abandon her mission. And the Nazis, aware of her, kind of the impact that she had, did lots of things to try and stop her. So they tried to lure her with safety and luxury. They promised her a comfortable life with ample food, warm shelter and financial security if she would betray the resistance. They painted a life free from constant fear and hardship if she would move over to them. Like Virginia, we are behind enemy lines, living in the scepter of wickedness. The question is, are we going to assimilate and become like the world, or are we going to hold true to the gospel? The Bible says we need to put living God's way before anything else, because isn't the danger that we're tempted to listen to the world's advice and get swept away from that, rather than the God who's saving us? Isn't the danger that we would be tempted just to ditch what Jesus says, to go and stand for something different? When we face ridicule, contempt, and mocking for our faith, it would be easy just to blend in, wouldn't it? When we face physical danger, maybe we would be tempted to change our allegiance. But remember how the psalm started. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion. They cannot be shaken. They endure forever. If we keep trusting in the Lord and remembering what he's done for us in Jesus, we will be totally, totally secure. Because though for the time being evil reigns, it isn't in charge of us as Christians. We're people who have been set free from the reign of wickedness, and we are under a new king, King Jesus. He is the one who helps us on this journey through this broken world until he takes us to that home to come. And that home is one we really want to be at, so it's the place of peace, it's the safety, the goodness forever. When we do get there, all the dangers will cease. Not just the contempt, not just the physical threats, but the temptation to join evil will be completely removed, because the scepter of wickedness will be completely removed too. I don't know if you saw that in verse 3, the scepter of wickedness will not remain. And verse 5, the Lord will banish evildoers. When we come to the world that God is making, ruled by Jesus the King, there won't be any danger to those that have been rescued. It will be just goodness. Good, good, good. My kids have got a lovely Christian book, storybook called The Garden, the Curtain, and the Cross. And it gives an overview of the whole Bible story of what it's like to be in the new creation and what God is bringing us to. And it has this really simple phrase throughout the book. And it says, the new creation, there will be nothing bad and no one sad. There'll be nothing bad and no one sad. Isn't that great? Isn't that a wonderful home of which we are going to? And in this world, there is lots of bad things and there are many sad people. But in that new world, it will all be good. Praise God. Come, Lord Jesus. So as we close today and we look forward to that better world that God is bringing us to, let us take care lest we give in to temptation to join the enemy. Let us help each other in that, to remind each other of the better choice that it is to stick with Jesus. So maybe as you head to a new school, and you know telling your new friends about your faith might lead to contempt and ridicule, to be the odd one out, remember the home of which you are heading towards. Remember Jesus that says that you, and in the psalmist that says that you are secure like Mount Zion, you are safe. Maybe your job is in jeopardy and you might be tempted to pour yourself completely into your job and water down your commitments to Jesus. Maybe you want to make your job number one thing in your life. Maybe I'll be more secure. No, it is the Lord that keeps us secure. Let's not falter from that. And maybe you're facing some physical danger. Maybe you've got illness coming up. And you're wondering, why now? Is God still on my side? Well, we can know that he's not abandoned us. He is our security. Think of Jesus, who has risen from the grave to rule in righteousness forever. He can safely lead us through what we're facing to our new home with him. And in that home, there will be nothing bad and nothing sad. God's people are secure. So stick with him. Don't join the enemy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are making a new and perfect world that is free from evil. And thank you that you rescue us for that wonderful world. Thank you that you promise to keep your people safe and bring them home. Please help us not to give in to, help us not to give in to temptation when times are tough, to join the enemy and wander away from you. Keep us trusting in you as the one who keeps us secure forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.